Turn, if you would, please, to Revelation chapter 18 tonight. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation 18 continues the account of the fall of Babylon. Last week we looked at chapter 17, which gives us the account of the destruction of religious Babylon, which is that one world religious system which has a part in the future tribulation period, Antichrist even being associated with it. And that's one aspect of Babylon, but that's not all. There is a commercial aspect as well. And that is what is primarily dealt with in chapter 18. And so we'll see that as we go through that here tonight. So I'm going to start by reading that. Revelation 18, beginning in verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruit that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off, for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. You know, we can go back in fairly recent history and we can learn about several economic meltdowns that happened. Different countries have faced those. China back in the late 1800s. After World War II, Germany went through an economic collapse. They had to pay back war reparations. They couldn't do it. Couldn't raise enough taxes. Brought on inflation. And some people believe that the situation in Germany led to the rise of the Nazi Party. It may have. Even at the fall of the Soviet Union in the 1980s, there was an economic collapse in their country brought on by a number of different factors. Probably the most famous one is the one in our country, the Great Depression. It started with the stock market crash, October 1929. The banks failed in the 1930s. A quarter of the working population in America was unemployed at that time. And a great economic hardship in our country. But as hard as that was, it's nothing compared to the economic collapse that we read about here in Revelation 17 that will happen at some point in the future. The last bowl judgment has already been given to us in chapter 16. And remember that last judgment had as a part of it, in 16 verse 19, the fall of Babylon. And that's just summarized there in chapter 16 verse 19. But then God takes these two chapters, chapter 17 and chapter 18, and describes in more detail the fall of that city. Babylon is a real city. We saw that at the end of chapter 17, verse 18. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And we don't know exactly what city that will be, although it could be Babylon, as it has been described in the Bible, Babylon on the Euphrates, back when Saddam Hussein was still ruling in that area. He was trying to rebuild Babylon. I don't know where the effort is right now, but obviously he's not doing it. But perhaps at some point it will be rebuilt. And the right things are rebuilt these days. It could be built very quickly. But chapter 17, we had this description of a harlot, and you can see her on these diagrams here, the stick figure harlot. And we saw that she represents in that chapter a religious system. She is a picture of spiritual adultery. We see that image in the Bible used for spiritual religious apostasy. And we see her described as, she says, full of names of blasphemy. And she has abominations, mother of abominations. And whatever it is, it's diametrically opposed to God and to the true God. And that religion is somehow centered and embodied in Babylon, the city. And we see this economic aspect as well here in chapter 18. It's evidently the center of the commercial center of the world in this future time. But the theme over and over again in chapter 18 is that that commercial center is going to fall. It's going to collapse. God will bring about that collapse. It will fall. Babylon is fallen. That is the message here of chapter 18. And although this is talking about future Babylon, we see in this passage a warning about materialism in any age. People that are involved in Babylon are very materialistic. That is their one pursuit in life. And although this is talking about the future period, we see those same characteristics at any time. And so we need to beware. Beware, first of all, of its enticement. Beware of the enticement of commercial Babylon. We see the picture of destruction here in verses 1 and 2. And notice who it is that is enticed by Babylon. Verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." This evidently will be the place for the important people of the world to be involved in. Very enticing for the kings and rulers of the earth to be heavily involved in commercial Babylon. But it's not just the kings of the earth that can be enticed. We see that the people of God can also be enticed. That's why we have this warning here in verse 4. John says, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues." There are believers during the tribulation period. The Bible talks about that. We've seen that. Revelation 7 especially tells us that. And God is issuing a warning here to those believers not to have anything to do with this corrupt commercial world economic system. Come out of her, my people. God's people can be enticed by the commercial materialism of this age and of the future age. God is concerned even with the association of the believer with the sins of the world. This is another passage that teaches that, not the only one for sure. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? What fellowship hath light with darkness?" And certainly that applies to the very close relationships, even in the business world. And I think it applies also to what we learned in chapter 17, the world religion. Does God want us to have any part in the growing and rising attractive world religion? No. He does not want us to have any fellowship with unbelief and with disobedience. And so we need to heed that warning. Beware of its enticement. Beware of the enticement of commercial Babylon. And then secondly, this evening, beware of its self-confidence. Beware of its self-confidence. We have a picture here of the attitude of commercial Babylon. It's an attitude that is not right before God. It is the reason, one of the reasons, why God is going to judge this system. In fact, we're told of that, verses 5 and 6, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works." God does not ignore the sins of people here on this earth. God is aware of the attitude of self-confidence, and we see that expressed here, especially in verse 7, "How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously." What does that mean? Well, it means to live luxuriously. There's just no end to the wealth and what wealth can afford and buy. And the focus of all that is self. It says, verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself. That's what Babylon is doing. It's not using what God has provided to give honor and glory to God. It is using all it can for its own self, glorifying itself, this attitude of self-confidence. And that's displayed in the lifestyle, people's confidence in their wealth. But God is going to remove that suddenly, and they will see that that self-confidence is offensive to God. But people in every age, even our present age, can be tempted to fall into the trap of confidence, not in God, but in wealth, and what wealth can do for us. And that amounts to idolatry. We need to remember what God told to that wealthy church in Laodicea. Remember what he said, Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You know, our wealth oftentimes can blind us to the spiritual needs that we have. And certainly that's what will go on in commercial Babylon. It's going to be so wealthy that it's just blind to the need that it has before God. And we need to be careful that our confidence is not in ourself, in our wealth, but in our God. Beware of its self-confidence. Beware of its enticement. And then a third warning that we see here from commercial Babylon is to beware of its disappointment. Beware of its disappointment. We see that verses 9 through 19. What God records for us here is the reaction of three different categories of people that react to the fall of Babylon. What's the first category? Well, verse 9. The kings of the earth. What do they say? Verse 10. Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. The kings of the earth are disappointed in the fall of Babylon. Can you imagine any rulers of the world that are wealthy? Can you imagine a wealthy ruler? I can. You know, oftentimes that's what gives them their power, their wealth. And in this case, evidently, they have added to their power by their involvement in this commercial system. And now it's gone. And so what do they say? Oh, no, our power is gone. Alas, this great city, what are we going to do? And then we see verses 11 through 16, the businessmen are disappointed here. Verse 11, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And then we have a picture of the trade here involved. Variety of products here, the clothes, the precious items, the furniture materials, the food products, agricultural products. And then we get to the end of this list in verse 13, and slaves and souls of men. There we get a glimpse into the compromise of these businessmen. They're willing to make a buck, and they're going to go to any lengths to do that, even to the length of human trafficking and selling other humans. And they're disappointed when they see that their business is gone. Businessmen are disappointed. Then a third category of disappointment, verses 17 through 19. Every shipmaster, verse 17, and all the company and ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? So we see the sailors are also disappointed as well. Evidently, there's some description of the transportation system. The transportation industry is also affected. So much disappointment here. That's ultimately what materialism brings to people. You know, it looks on the outset, hey, this is what I need. This is going to help me. This is going to make me set for life. And then what happens? What happens here? Well, they're disappointed. These folks are all looking to this commercial system for their power, their happiness, and it's gone. In 1 hour, it's gone. And they are disappointed. Beware of the disappointment of materialism. Proverbs 11:4 says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Ultimately, the day is going to come when our money is not going to be worth anything anymore. We can't use it anymore. When that day comes, when we die, we can't take it with us. And what good will our money be? Not very much good, except for the people that are still around. But to us, no, it's just going to be a disappointment. And if that's everything our lives are about, what's the real point of our life? What's the point of our living? God wants us to see the disappointment here associated with this materialism, even in this future point of Babylon. But notice here in verse 20, from God's perspective, the destruction of Babylon is not disappointing. Notice verse 20. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." You know, all the merchants and the kings and the sailors on the earth are disappointed, but in heaven, there's a far different scene. It's a scene of rejoicing. God is accomplishing His will. He is a just God. And here is the system that has persecuted God's people, even a system throughout history. That system of Babylon stands for that which is against God, and all of the persecutions that have taken place. Now we see that justice is being served by God, and heaven rejoices because of that. So beware of the enticement of materialism represented here in commercial Babylon. Beware of the self-confidence that goes with that. Beware of its disappointment. Ultimately, that's what will happen if our confidence is in material things. We'll be disappointed. But then in verses 20 through 24, we see a final warning, and that is beware of its sudden demise. Beware of its sudden demise. Verse 21, we see this illustration. "A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." The millstone is a large stone. Perhaps you've seen a wheel that's, you know, 6 feet in diameter, made of some kind of stone they'd used to grind wheat with. And John sees this picture. It's an illustration of the fall of Babylon. This angel takes that huge, heavy stone and casts it into the sea. And what do you think happens to that stone? Does it float on the water? No, it doesn't float on the water. What does it do? Boom, down to the bottom. And you won't see it anymore. You know, even if you just throw a little rock into the water, what happens? It sinks, goes down right away. That's a picture of the demise of Babylon. Suddenly, it's gone, like a huge millstone thrown into water. Can't see it anymore. It's quick. All throughout this chapter, God says, in 1 hour, so suddenly, it only takes that one short hour, and this huge commercial city is gone. It's a sudden demise, and we see it's a complete demise as well. Verse 22 and 23, We read about the things that aren't going to be there anymore. The voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. All these different things that perhaps if you were to go through Babylon, this great city, you would hear all this noise and commotion and music being played and coming out of stores and shops and the sounds of industry taking place, whatever they might be, and no more. No more. That all that will be done. It's gone. The sights and sounds of everyday life, verse 23, the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. We see that that demise is deserved. There are a couple more sins that God takes note of here. The deception of the nations of the earth, the persecution of God's people, and that all leads to its sudden demise. Beware. This is something that's going to happen in the future, and we can be certain of that. But it's also a warning about materialism. And we need to be on guard against that. The world around us is pursuing that more and more. But one day, God will overthrow it. And I think it's good for us that we heed God's words to wealthy believers that were given to the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Listen to what he says. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's good advice for Christians in America. Probably we are some of the most wealthy Christians on the earth because we live in this country. But one day, even this great country will be cast down, and all of its wealth, all of its self-confidence, ultimately, it will be a disappointment. But it won't be if we put our trust in the living God, the source of all those things that we enjoy. So I hope we can do that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you'd help us to heed the warning that is here and help us not to be confident in our wealth and our riches. We recognize you've given us everything we have. You can take it away. And we still would have you. And we know that's enough. And Lord, we thank you that you have the future under your control. And we pray that we would take these lessons to heart here tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's take our